Well, adjust your speakers and call me Slappy, because you know what time it is. That's right. This episode brought to you by Voodoo Ranger, the 9.0 that keeps you happy. And we got a lot of bitching to do on this one in Howlin' the Wolf, from grooming, student loans, and the fucked up music world. Before we start this one, and I need to take an extra big swig of this beer here first, because this is really freaking scary. I've been saying it for the last 3 years that we were in the end of days and apocalyptic times. And it really did seem so there for a while with the whole coronavirus. And then 6 months ago when Russia invaded Ukraine, I was telling everybody we're going to war. This is scary. Even at the beginning of 2020, the very first few days when somebody put something into one of our bases over in Afghanistan or something like that. I don't remember, but it scared everybody and we thought we were going into World War III then. Then Russia invades Ukraine. We thought it happened then. Then China supposedly is going to invade Taiwan and warns Pelosi to not go to Taiwan. And then she does it anyway. And we thought, this is it. This is going to happen. All of those things have been televised. They've been talked about. They've been rampant on social media. And it went viral that this is World War III. Something happened the other day that nobody's talking about. And it's freaking me out, man. I'm totally freaking out, brochachos. Some faction of Iranian militant groups are in Syria. And for one reason or another, Biden decides to attack them. And they retaliated, which gave us cause to attack again. The only people reporting this was Breaking News 911 or 411 on Twitter, and a few of the larger media outlets mentioned it. And everyone's first question was, why are we still in Syria? They told us we were out of the Middle East. For people that aren't keen to geography, it's the north part of Iraq in the old Mesopotamian land, which is, I have always said Mesopotamians were the most evil of original evils in all of the world. And that's a whole other podcast and, mentioned there. But they retaliated against us and some of our servicemen were injured. Usually Newsmax is all over that. And none of them are covering that. So we retaliated again. We killed some of their people and then they fought back. So now we've authorized another strike. And it wasn't, the first one was a small little drone strike. And this second one was 4 F-16s and 4 F-15s dropping 9 guided bombs on very specific locations. And nobody's talking about it. Well, how do I know about it? Well, somebody has to be talking about it. But the major news media isn't picking it up. Because why? Because we're talking about student fucking loans. Or we're talking about grooming, or we're talking about what happened at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, like, all this other bullshit that's such a distraction from what's really going on. You want to know what's scary right now? You know that I love planes. You know that I watch the maps and the radars for what's going on with planes right now. You should be alarmed that our three most technologically proficient warning systems are patrolling our coast right now. The P-8 Poseidon, the E-6, and the E-8, along with numerous E-3. Those are the more common ones you people will see, the AWACS that has the big circular radar on the top. But when the E-6 is there, it's a little weird. The P-8 is for submarines, so that'll follow the coastline. The E-6 and the E-8 are sort of the Takamo planes, which spells out takes action and something, something. It's about nuclear warfare. These two planes are supposed to be detecting nuclear missiles coming into the country. And not even that. If I see the E4 go up, which is the doomsday plane, we're fucked. Because the first, I want to say, month after Russia invaded Ukraine, that E4 doomsday plane was up and it never landed for a month. It was constantly up there. So, a little scary what's going on. And as we speak right now, Thursday night, the 25th, I believe it is, in August, the P-8, the E-6, and the E-8 are patrolling from Florida to Maine and from California to Washington. It's getting scary out there, folks, and nobody's talking about it. This may be the first time that we actually do war. Not only that, I'm noticing movement. The cargo planes, the J-20s from the Chinese, are moving and they're landing and bringing things to the area right next to India. So they're very southern. There's movement all over the place. Chess is happening as we speak and it's getting real scary. Oh, can the wolf just get a fucking break? You know, I swear to God, like, I really feel for you dads out there, especially single dads. Or any dads, really. I mean, I hate to make any of them more important than others. But fuck me. Just sometimes, do you ever just want to be left alone? Look, I love my dog. I love my family. I love everything. But when they're all fucking bugging me all at once when I'm trying to wind down for the night and have some personal time, holy fuck. This is why I don't talk on the phone. It's because my biggest pet peeve is being interrupted. And I know it seems weird from a guy that likes to talk to himself for an hour straight without taking a breath on a podcast like this. But, God, you know, I'm trying to keep my thoughts and just rant about some stuff to get things off of my chest so I can just forget about it. And my phone keeps going off. And people keep bugging the shit out of me. And it's like mundane shit. You know, when your family tells you goodnight for the night, you think, cool, now it's my time. I can mess around on my phone without being disturbed. And then they think of something else and they keep bugging you. Or you play with your dog just enough so that they leave you alone now and it's your time. And the minute you start talking to yourself and they don't understand why you're talking to an inanimate object on a podium in the middle of a room full of toys, they come up and they want to play with you. It's like, fuck off. Woof. It was a half hour. From almost 45 minutes from the last segment to just now to get people to get it all out so that I could be left alone again. Holy shit. Okay. Back to business. Actually, fuck that. I'm going to have another. See, I'm all distracted now. Fuck. I'm just going to have another swig of beer. Collect my thoughts, calm down, take about 10 deep breaths, and we're going to get back to it. All right. Let's get back to it. You know, before, though, of course, because there's always a distracted thing in my head, and we'll talk about distractions here in a minute. Are we getting older? This isn't a commercial for a new drug, which I hate, by the way. But I feel like we're not talking about the things we could be talking about to help ourselves, because male health, male mental health, things like that aren't really talked about. And when I'm not talking about like dick pills or if you have whatever the fuck that Peyronie's disease bending. I thought a bend in your dick was good. It hit a G-spot faster and your girls wouldn't bitch as much. But apparently now you got Peyronie's disease and you got to have injections and wait 4 weeks and bend it after you stretch it. And I'm like, holy shit. I saw that Val Kilmer movie where he had the penis stretching machine, Real Geniuses or something like that. Like, no. But I feel like we're not talking about the things about getting older. Like, do you just use the wrong pillow and sleep wrong and all of a sudden your neck and your shoulder blades out of whack for like 3 days? And not only that, like, I've been battling for the last 2 weeks with, I don't want to say hearing loss, but it feels like something's inside my ear. And that's not a cue for Facebook to start the algorithm to start showing me that video of the spider inside of people's ears. But I swore it felt like either a cotton ball or something from an earplug, or I've been using in-ears for work for the security walkie-talkies. I thought maybe, all right, there's something in there. I tried everything. I tried swimmer's ear. I tried the liquefying wax for hardened buildup, for all this shit, and none of that worked. So I finally did the one thing I could think of, and, you know, you call mom. What's mom going to do? She always takes care of things. Well, she found the greatest invention in the world, which is amazing that we even still pay doctors for anything, because all they do is WebMD shit, the same that we could do. She found one of those octo-ortho something, blah, 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 whatever, scopes that's basically a camera pen that you could Bluetooth to your phone that's got a scoop on the end of it, just like a doctor would use, that you could stick in your orifice of your choice and see what's going on. So I'm like, fuck, I finally get to see that spider or, you know, earpiece or earbud or whatever that's stuck in there. There was fucking nothing in there, and there's not even wax in there. So I'm like, why does it feel like there's something behind my eardrum that I can't shake? I don't know what it is, but every time I walk around, it feels like there's something in there, and I'll forget about it, think that it's normal, and all of a sudden I'll yawn or I'll brush my teeth or do something, and I can feel, I could hear it on the inside of my head as opposed to the outside of my head. Have you ever tried to like chew with earplugs in, or have you ever tried to like drive up a mountain or something, or fly in a plane without chewing gum? Before your ears pop, you get that sort of hollowed sound. That's what one of my ears is doing. So I don't know if the music's just too fucking loud or what, or if I'm just sleeping around that makes my neck, but fuck. If you're late 30s, going into your 40s or 43 like me, man, what the fuck is going on with our check engine lights at this point? Good God. So let's talk about distractions, as I was just recently distracted. The government is doing some major distractions right now. We're not talking about Syria. We keep sending extra money to Ukraine, billions of dollars, to help in their battle that's been going on for 6 months now. China's on the move, and it's moving away from Taiwan. Now it's sending all of its cargo ships to the space between India and Iran for some strange reason. And it's scary. But one thing they're also distracting us with is as soon as things get bad, well, the Mar-a-Lago thing happened. And this is back when they tried to impeach Trump. When they impeached him the first time, it didn't work. We didn't turn our backs on him, so they impeached him a second time. When that didn't work, they brought up other stuff. And it was just one thing after another with this guy. And then now that we're kind of over the whole Trump thing, now they're trying other stuff. They're like, oh, well, if that didn't work, student loans are now forgiven. So they're trying to, like, gain support any way they possibly can, because they know midterms are coming up and more Republicans are winning in their respective states for House seats. And they're getting scared, so they're going to pull out all these things. And they do this every time. If you're Black or Mexican, they're going to try and get your vote. And they'll even tell you in their speeches and say dumb things like, the Black communities and the Mexican communities can't afford, which is stereotyping right there and racist, but hey, you know, they can say it, we can't. The Black and Mexican communities can't afford their student loans, so we're going to forgive their debt so that they can afford getting a house or afford getting a new car or something like that. And then Republicans are bitching, well, we're going to have to pay for that in taxes. Well, we're going to have to pay for Ukraine in taxes. We're already got inflation up the ass down here. I mean, I went to the store today, and it was $14 for a can of coffee, and I think I got the cheapest toilet paper with the most amount I could get, and it was $12, but the one I usually get is up to $23, and the premium toilet paper was up to $29. Who the fuck pays $30 for toilet paper? And I mean, this is just ridiculous. Marvel Legends up to $25. I mean, that just floors me. I don't understand it. So, you know, fuck. Salisbury steaks made out of pigeons and rats are still a buck. In fact, I think they went up to like $1.35. So I got a bunch of those. But it's getting hard as fuck to afford everything. So they're going to try and swerve your vote and tell you, well, we forgave student loans. And I could rant about this forever because I hated college. I thought it was a waste of time. I was forced to go so that I could be a status quo for my family and compete with my cousin. And I graduated and the degree didn't do shit for me. Didn't get me a job, even though I tried feverishly to get a job in design. And, you know, we know this story. I've ranted about this over and over and over ad nauseum. But the forgiveness of student loans would be awesome if it actually applied to me. So if at some point you consolidated your student loans, then it went from a federal loan to a private loan, and that's not going to be forgiven. So the remainder of my $20,000, $22,000 loans that I've been paying on for the last, 22 years, I think it was up to 40 something, and now 22 years later, it's still down to 20 plus, you know, the interest. I deferred for a year so I could hopefully find the job with the degree that I just got, and it didn't work out. They don't tell you, or when you're young and dumb, you don't realize that deferment only means that you don't pay the monthly, but they're still going to charge you interest per month, which on something like that is still going to be a couple $100. And so I finally consolidated so that I could extend my loan over the next 4 decades. And that increased the interest, lowered the monthly payments, and extended my contract, which means I'm just going to be paying on those until the day that I die. But some dipshit is going to be like, oh my God, I just got my loans forgiven. I'm $10,000 richer. Bitch, I got a $15,000 credit card that they keep giving me more and more money on for some strange fucking reason that I'm not using anymore, just because they want me to go in debt even more than I already am. And when I tried to buy a house, or when I tried to get my car, I had to explain to them that two of those loans that are over $15,000, $20,000 that I have are student loans and this giant, massive business credit card that I'm, you know, been slowly paying off. So this is a no-win situation, but they're going to keep swerving at you. They're going to keep telling you that, you know, this is a great thing. Look what we did for you. Vote for us. And more good things like this are going to happen. It's the same thing as lowering gas prices. Everyone's like, oh, gas is back down to $4. Well, look at the other countries. Britain's paying $7 and Canada's paying this. And I mean, whatever happened to the, by the way, whatever happened to that trucking thing that was moving across America? How did that disappear? And wasn't there like a big backup and trucker thing in Canada? We just forget about it now. Like, now all of a sudden that that's over, the thing that we should be rebelling against is the high gas prices. And now that they put everyone back to work as punishment, they're going to raise the gas prices. But it's just like a store. You know, Walmart will clearance out a figure for $19.99 after they've raised it to $24.99, not realizing that the original price and retail suggested value was $17.99. But because it went down $4 from where it was, they're acting like they're doing you a favor, not making you realize that they actually still raised it $2, $3 beyond what it should have been. And that's where we're at with gas right now. It's down to $4.40 and $4.35 at the cheap places, or $5.05 at the normal places. And it was up to almost $6, and people refused to go places and vacation, do that. But now that it's lowered back down a dollar, they think, man, this is great, not realizing that 2 years ago it was $2.45. Distractions, distractions, distractions. It's like these fucking magicians, you know, and I don't even know if I ranted about this on here. I may have. I'm not going to go over the whole story again. But speaking of magicians, I got tickets to that Chris Angel show on Mystica, and it was just absolutely terrible. And now he's got some new show, like Magic with the Stars, because the only shows anyone's watching anymore are all reality shows. And this dude is dressing like a Courtney Cox drag queen. He's got a coif, which in rockabilly terms is sort of that lifted Elvis hair in the front, but it goes super high, almost like, honestly, like your black girl bangs in the 80s and 90s. I'm sorry, I'll say it. Where they had like these fucking 14-inch tall Harambe things on the top of their heads. Fuck, that's going to sound racist now because I just correlated a black girl to a gorilla. That's not what I mean, people, but you know what? Cancel me the fuck you want. I don't really give a shit at this point. Whole world's going to hell in a handbasket and I'm riding the wave. It looks like that, where they were doing that kind of beehive bullshit that your grandma used to do in the 70s. There, that's a better one. We can stereotype white people. And he's got like a mullet on top of that. So, I mean, Chris Andrews just looks like an absolute freak. He looks like a drag queen trying to play Courtney Cox. Which Courtney Cox looks like Frankenstein trying to play Courtney Cox. Because all that damn plastic surgery has gone bad. She's starting to look more and more like Biden, where you can't see any lips. You just see her lower jaw and her fucking bottom teeth. It's disgusting. But anyway, yeah, distractions. And, you know, like I say, I have my issues with college, and I've ranted about that forever, ever since I graduated. And the idea that student loans could be forgiven is a really neat thing. But play the game. So if you're one of these people that can get your student loans forgiven, fine, fucking do it. There's got to be a catch somewhere. Not my business. The same thing with the people that got unemployment. Everyone was complaining, I took my happy ass to work. Well, you know what? Fucking deal with it. We all wish we could hit a royal. But because we all don't hit the lottery doesn't mean that the person that did get the lottery shouldn't have got their lottery. So, you know what? To each their own, and mind your own business. Which sucks because, again, we're going to end up paying in the long run because it's just going to raise taxes and the deficit. I mean, this Biden has spent trillions of dollars. And we've had several conflicts and wars. You know, minor incursions, if you will. That didn't happen in Trump's regime. That didn't happen in a lot of other things. But no, Biden says he's the greatest thing to happen, and it's killing the country. So, fuck. Enough on that. I'm going to take a break here, have another few sips of beer, turn on the fan because it's humid 99 degrees at 11 p.m., and we're going to talk about why you probably should have slept with your teacher. So I bought a dead girl's trunk of worldly possessions today. I know, you're like, what the fuck? What happened to the teacher? Yeah, we'll get to the why you should sleep with your teacher. Yeah, I'm addicted to, you know, Marketplace and different online outlets for getting stuff because people are just giving things away for free. So I can't always look. My mom sometimes helped me out, and today she shows up with the trunk, and she's like, here you go, take this, so with the stuff that she was going to bring me anyway to help fix my ear, even though nothing helped it, and it still feels the same. Anyway, I got this trunk, and she's like, well, open it up. And I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. It was a whole trunk full of DVDs and VHS, which is, you know, the physical media that I've been going through. And I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, this is pretty cool. Weird, there's a picture in here. And it was like an older picture. If it's a photograph, obviously, you know, it's a vintage trunk. And the newest thing in there was about 2005. But I'm like, oh, this must be somebody's trunk. And then the deeper I got into it, I'm like, this is like someone's personal belongings. What happened? And I started really wondering what was going on. The more I would pull out, there was... it was definitely a female's trunk. There was a lot of cheer squad awards, memorabilia, videotapes, and cheer practice and cheer meet DVDs and VHS. There's one mysterious thing that I have not watched yet that says Mom's Tape. not sure what that would be. Couple love notes and some other things. And it just felt like this girl died. Or it was like a suicide. Or for whatever reason. I mean, this is the girl's possessions. These are all her awards. It was like her watch around her boyfriend's picture. It was pictures of her family, a little note to her mom, some other things. But there was like, you know, the entire set of Smallville, all six seasons. There was a Star Wars VHS with the sleeve that had all three of the de-specialized versions of Star Wars, as they call it, the before, you know, Lucas decided to fuck with it. So there was some really neat stuff in there, but it got me thinking. I'm like, geez, who is this? Who was this girl? So I tried looking up the name. I mean, there was even bank statements where she had a CD or a COD or so, I don't know what it was called, but they said it would appreciate to about $1,000 in 2005. And I don't know what it would be worth now, but obviously I can't go cash it in. And it looked like this was something that was in a garage that had flooded, and it was, you know, partially ruined, the things that were in the bottom. So I threw away a lot of the books that had water damage. It wasn't blood, so I know what you're thinking. No, I didn't do it, and I don't know who this is. So I salvaged what I could, and there was actually some pretty good stuff. But so I asked my mom. She said it was somebody giving it away free. Here was her name. And I said, well, that correlates to the name that's in the box, except it's a different first name. So I looked that person up on Facebook, and it was a new person that had the name, last name. So I thought maybe this is a sister. And then the guy that was in these pictures and had written these love notes to whoever this was. So I thought that was maybe a brother, but maybe this was an old lover and this is a new wife. I don't know, but it's really kind of interesting and sad at the same time. Here I am thinking this is like someone that's dead or whatnot, and I tell the story to my mom, and she's like, I think it's just an ex-wife. They moved out from Tennessee and brought this tote with them that on accident that they just don't want anymore. And, I mean, that makes more sense, but I kind of thought I had a award-winning Lifetime novels story that I was about to write. But hey, you know, whatever, I could make shit up. So speaking of those things, that actually was a pretty neat segue, because that is exactly where I'm going right now. I've watched everything in existence that's out right now. I finished Only Murders in the Building, which isn't bad. It's very hokey, very modern, very inclusive and woke, but it's Steve Martin and Martin Short. You can't help but like it. And as quirky as it is, it's definitely a fun little show. But some suggestions were coming up of what to watch after that. And since I didn't have anything else to watch, and I'll just fully admit, because I am that type of person, this time of year, I was going to say when it starts to get cooler, but as it's 100 degrees and sweltering out right now, it's not anywhere near cooler. But the closer we get to Halloween, and, you know, primarily in September, beginning of the school year for everyone else, I start watching, I'll just say it, like chick dramas or chick flicks. Or I'll watch true crime. So that's how it came about. I was watching Only Murders in the Building. That's a true crime show. So it suggested other true crime. And one of them was a show called Cruel Summer that was on Hulu. And I'm almost imagining that none of you are going to watch this. So I'll spoil the fuck out of it. Basically what happens is it's a story between two girls that one wishes they were in the other one's shoes. And you're led to believe that she killed this kid to, essentially take her spot. And that's not what happened. In fact, there was a huge twist in the whole thing where it became a whole show about grooming, which is a term that I'm really sick of hearing, quite frankly. Because the more I see these things, the more I realize I seem to have been groomed several times over. But I think they're confusing, much like people that constantly say racist, they're actually meaning to say prejudice, which is something completely different, or something like maybe stereotyped. I don't think racist is the term they're looking for. I don't think grooming is the term they're looking for, because again, at my age, when I hear someone say grooming, I think of combing your fucking hair, brushing your teeth, taking care of yourself. And apparently now it means getting a youth to follow what you want so that they do despicable acts with you, as society puts it. To me, I think the proper term is manipulation. But apparently, if you're a psychologist or a therapist, there's reasons why you can't use the word manipulation. Yeah. You know, and Evil was another show I was watching on Hulu that mentioned this word grooming, which that one seemed a little more appropriate. If you watch that show, it's about a scientist, a therapist, and a priest that walk into a bar and tell jokes. No, it's not. I mean, it sounds like it. The three of them go on missions by the church to try and decide whether or not an exorcism is necessary, if it's a psychological problem or if it's a scientific problem that can be debunked. Really interesting show, and I enjoyed it. But now that that's over, again, I was looking for other alternatives. But in that show, the psychologist's daughters are being followed at school by this person's old boss who became sort of a lover of her mother. And he's sort of grooming them to become evil because he's a demon and they don't know it yet, but the viewers do. And he's trying to groom them into becoming demons. So that to me is sort of an appropriate use of the term. And, you know, of course, they try and explain it in modern ways that, you know, these things aren't acceptable, which they aren't acceptable. But then they take it in a different sort of sense when you watch a show like Cruel Summer. Or was it Cruel Summer? Yeah, I think that's what I said. Cruel Summer. So it's one girl that wishes she was in the other girl's spot and for one reason or another gets to take the girl's spot. So here's the twist. The twist is, the ugly girl with braces becomes the pretty girl because the pretty girl disappears. The pretty girl ends up in the basement of her assistant principal and gets locked away for an entire year before escaping, killing him. And they would like you to believe that he groomed her to be in the basement. And what you see throughout the show is it's less and less of a grooming as the pretty girl trying to escape her reality from a very posh, ritzy and fake world in her Texas, you know, world. You know, I don't know how to describe these people. The Southern Belle type. Her mom's a very fake, posh politician's wife and has a lot of rules on her and whatnot. So anyway, to skip ahead on that story, she basically befriends and tells her secrets to her assistant principal. And because of them talking to each other, she decides that she starts to like the assistant principal. The assistant principal, however, knows that it's wrong and tries to be a good person and a nice person and decides that he's going to ignore the advances and try and keep her safe and coach her into living a better life and just dealing with her mother's irritable nature. Well, what you end up finding out is the grooming is actually the other way around. And they don't ever say this. They blame the adult. They're always going to blame the male. They're always going to blame the adult. But this child, this senior in high school who was underage, and yes, I know it's wrong, and I'm not trying to support these sorts of things, but she basically led this lonely, poor principal on. And I know this is going to be very controversial, and a lot of people are probably going to disagree with me on this. But I've watched two shows now where they play out the exact same situation where it ruins the adult person's life because the adult was manipulated into thinking that the younger person actually liked them. I believe wholeheartedly that when you're in your late teens, and you might not like this because you may have children coming up on your late teens or know somebody that does, but when you were a teenager yourself, you thought you knew the world. Now, you may not know how to do your taxes or balance a checkbook or budget out vacation or something like that at 15, 16, and 17, but you certainly understand your own body at that point, and you want to explore and discover these things. And while your first love may not be a high school love, you may be thinking you want to learn love from somebody that's more mature. So I mean, how many times has this been in the news where teachers get thrown in prison because they fuck their students, or their students seemed more mature, or they'd been held back, and yes, they were 18, but they were still in school, which makes them a juvenile, blah, 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 all this kind of shit. I started getting mad towards the end of this show because it showed manipulation after manipulation where she took advantage, the student took advantage of this poor principal and basically led him to believe that they were going to be in a relationship. And he actually, I think in the show, was only mid-20s. So if you figure you graduate college in about, you know, 2021, depending, you know, when you graduate high school, you're only, you know, less than 10 years older than these kids. And again, I'm not trying to rationalize this, but I'm just giving you food for thought. How many of us as adults have been in a relationship with somebody who's 8 to 9 years younger? Or generally, if you're female, you go for someone that's 8 to 10 years older than you. And then apparently with age and after your 20s, that's perfectly acceptable. And I've even dated people in my adult life. Remember, I think I told you I dated my best friend's sister, who she was 17 and we were best friends until she turned I think 19 or 20, and then we kind of started hanging out more often. But then the minute she turned 20 and turned 21, I think I was 27, she could finally start coming to my shows, and then we started dating, and it was a horrible mistake. We should have stayed friends. Because we ruined that best friend relationship by getting in a relationship. But as soon as she turned 21, I was like, you know what? That seems reasonable. Fine. It's only a 6-7 year difference. Why not? But I knew obviously it was wrong to fuck my best friend's sister when she was 17. But still, you got to remember when you were that age, you were fucking people. In fact, when I was in high school, I lost my virginity at, what, 14 or 15, something like that. I was dating a senior, and I was just fresh out of junior high. And, in fact, we only dated for a couple of months before she turned 18. So, technically, I could be on a Me Too movement saying that I was statutory raped by this senior in high school that, you know, took advantage of somebody who was only 14, 15. Motherfucker, I knew how my dick worked, and I knew where I wanted to stick it. And I did repeatedly. Several times. A day. A day. It was wonderful. Wouldn't take it back for a fucking instance. Now, however, I should segue that to things that were inappropriate that I probably would have followed through with. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I've had several instances where I've been sexually abused, even as a child, by my babysitters, two of them, matter of fact, both female. In their late teens, early 20s, I would imagine. Never quite got the full story on that. But so that happened. And then in junior high, I was taller, bigger, more filled out and mature than most other kids. Had a goatee growing by 7th, 8th grade. So the teachers would flirt with me in my big-ass mullet. And I would hand in my paperwork, and just reach up from my desk with the paper in my hand, and the teacher would grab my hand and hug it to her chest while she reads the paper, essentially putting my hand on her boob. And I had another thing where I injured my wrist and had to go to physical therapy, and the physical therapist was massaging my wrist and my hand while kind of rocking me back and forth for whatever reason, bumping her stomach and then bumping her fupa and then bumping her vag. And I full half like expected her to want me to flip upside down and bowling ball her ass. But, you know, it didn't happen because I knew those things were wrong and I knew it shouldn't have happened. But those advances and those feelings and those temptations are there for more people than would like to admit it. So I hate to say that this poor, lonely assistant principal, who was portrayed as a, you know, good-looking person and this beauty queen of a homecoming queen style Texas belle of the ball, was leading him on into a relationship. I mean, this is another thing. I've had this conversation at work recently. Sexual harassment is only sexual harassment if they're ugly. So if you ugly, you're going to get a sexual harassment suit. But if you're attractive or you're a female, you can get away with whatever the fuck you want. So it started making me mad because this guy knew it was wrong, and then he gave in and he started keeping her. This bitch full-heartedly stayed with her quote-unquote captor for 6 months of that entire year. You find out at the end of this story. And it's like, wait a minute, she could have left at any time. She loved it. She stayed with him. She wasn't in her right mind, but she took advantage of him. And he had the time of his life. She learned a lot. They grew together. Everything was great. But then he said, you know, you have to wait 6 more months until you turn 18 before we can go public with this, because I could lose my job, my life, blah, 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 whatever. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. She starts getting stir crazy and, you know, all these things happen, blah, blah, blah. The segment's going on longer than I wanted, but there's a lot to it. And needless to say, the end of this whole thing, he realizes that it's wrong. She threatens to leave. So he freaks out and panics and doesn't know what to do. And a lot of people can't think very quickly or rationally in times of crisis. So he said, fine, I put your bags and your suitcases in the basement. Go get them. You can pack up and leave. And whatever, my life's over as it is. She goes into the basement and he locks the door. So now all of a sudden it becomes like a serial killer and a captive situation. But she put herself in that situation, led him on, and now forced him to make a bad decision, is how I look at it. The rest of the world is saying that he groomed her into a false sense of comfort, so she felt the need to share, thus creating a Stockholm syndrome that this is her savior, and a bitch like none of that happened. I even seen this on Facebook where a therapist talks to different Disney princesses where they're like, I found out I ended up truly loving the Beast. Like, bitch, he bought you books and kept you captive in a castle. Beauty and the Beast was a... And I still hate Beauty and the Beast to this day because I feel for the Beast. He's alone. He's got nobody. He finally finds somebody that's afraid of him, but he convinces her that, you know, he's a good person and buys her things, tries to be nice. He's not grooming her. He's trying to be a decent human being and be nice to somebody, but you can't be nice to somebody. And of course, that makes him take it too far, keeps her captive. And then when she does escape, tells the whole town breaks out the pitchforks and flames and just, you know, wants to kill the dude. Then he turns into a human, loses all the hair, becomes pretty, and now all of a sudden it's acceptable. You know what I mean? If you're ugly, you're fucked. If you're good looking, it's not sexual harassment. That's how the world works. So, the end of that show, because you're probably not going to go watch all 10 episodes of it, even though season 2 is coming out this year. This was a show that came out last year. It was set in the 90s, which is the reason I watched it to begin with. I'm not going to lie that I watch chick flicks But the whole reason I watched it is because it was set in 93, 94, 95. And it was beautifully filmed, where 93 was still neon and happy. 94 was sort of a transitional period. And 95, everything was grunge, doom, and gloom. So, and they even did it in sort of a gray filter and took away the colors. Like, it was very well shot, and the story was amazing. I just didn't like the subject matter, but... it was a well-written story. And the end of that story was the guy, spoiler alert, realizes what he's done, realizes that he loves this girl, but it could never happen, even though they said they were going to run away together and start a new life. And, of course, that never works out. And so he brings down a gun, and he says, "This is the only way. I'm so sorry." And he tries to shoot himself, and he chickens out at the end. Drops the gun, turns around, is like, "I'm sorry, I think we can do this, I think we can," and bam, bitch shoots him. So, that's the end of that story. You don't know how they can have a season two out of that one. Maybe it'll be different people, but, so that one suggested another show called Teacher. And this one is about a teacher that falls in love with her student. Now, this one's a little different, because obviously the males are always at, you know, fault. This one is a high school senior, 17 years old, almost 18. He's on the football team, very attractive, a very young teacher, mid-20s, also attractive, very young looking. They start flirting in class. He goes for extra credit, and extra credit leads to one thing or another. She gets drunk, she chaperones. He makes the moves, and, I mean, as a teenage boy, you just want to stick your dick in anything, which is true. However, when I was 15, 16, and 17, I thought, for one reason or another, that I was going to find my true love and be with them the rest of my life, because at the time, I was at, you know, a very bad crossroads with the church and with all sorts of things where I thought I was going to find true love and be with them the rest of my life and do the right thing. And then I found out living in sin is where it's at. But I haven't quite gotten through this entire show, but they just found out basically that they had been dating and were lying and going on weekend trips together, and that they actually were doing a relationship, and now the cops are involved. So I'm sure the bitch goes to prison. I'm sure all sorts of stuff happens, whatever. We've seen the news briefs where, you know, the teacher sleeps with a student or gives blowjobs to students. I mean, you know what? It's fucking human nature. Shit's gonna happen. You know, you cannot tell me when you were, if you're a guy, if when you were 15, 16, 17 years old, that there wasn't one teacher that you didn't want to fuck. And if at one point the opportunity presented itself that you wouldn't follow through. Fuck, I even remember another instance. I was in sixth grade. This chick, I think I even mentioned it before, where she would position me right in front of her for story time, and she would cross her legs just like Basic Instinct so I could see her big old muff underneath there where she wasn't wearing panties. Or when it was in Washington, we would do salmon breeding and then take all the kids up to the mountain and release the salmon in the stream kind of thing. And she was showing everyone how to, you know, get the fish out by suctioning and siphoning a hose out of the water and dumping it into a bucket. And she made sure to make eye contact with me that she fit this entire giant tube in her ass. I mean, in her ass. God, that'd be fucking funny. I meant to say actual mouth, but it came out as ass, which is hilarious. God, I wish I would have seen that. She shoved this big old tube up her ass and salmon just flowed in through. No, that's not what happened. But she made sure to make eye contact with me as she's sucking on this tube so that I knew she could fit something giant in her mouth, which is hysterical because I'm in sixth grade and my light switch wasn't that big. But, yeah, very awkward. But also even in, fuck, what was it, 10th, 11th grade? I had an algebra teacher that was a substitute teacher that had me, same story, same situation. If I wouldn't have been so involved with the church and people hounding on me to live a godly life, I would have fucked this bitch, because her name was Cookie, and she was asking me to massage her leg. She had just had surgery on her calf, and she would pull her boot off and show that the muscle didn't work. She's like, see, the muscle doesn't work. My calf moves back and forth. She's like, you could touch it if you want. Oh, sure, wish someone would massage it. Like, bitch wanted me to massage her leg and touch her inappropriately, and then God knows what would have happened. And I look back on it now, and I'm like, I should have fucking done it. Even in the church, I'm like, God, what was I, 17, 18? Maybe I was 19. I was giving guitar lessons to some of the wives, and they're like, so where do I put my boob on this thing? Do I put it in the little alcove of the guitar, or do I put it here? I mean, they're totally flirting with an underage dude, even in the church. So don't tell me that grooming is something new, and don't give a new term to something that's constantly happened. You want to know what actual grooming was? Grooming was something that the Greeks and Romans did in politics with their bath boys that would groom them for politics by making them be their servants and, in a sense, sexual slaves, male on male, because the wives weren't allowed to leave the houses. So that was grooming. And that led them to believe that they would be of this political party or become a politician later on in life, or they didn't like it and they did it to someone else because they had to go through it, and now fair is fair. So yeah, this whole sense of grooming just, it bothers me on another level, because whether someone wants to admit it or not, I think we've all been in inappropriate situations. And you don't have to tell me, you don't have to share with me, but if you want to, you know, if this is something that makes sense to you, then maybe by talking about it, by me talking about it, it may help you understand or know that you can relate to someone else. But I had several inappropriate times in my life, you know, from babysitters that wanted to walk around naked and have me touch them to play house as a kid, and I'm talking like kindergarten up until high school, with teachers essentially propositioning me, to late teens, early 20s, and 40-year-old women from the church trying to proposition me to cheat with their husbands. I mean, it's happened. It's constantly happened to me. I don't know why. I don't know why this has always happened. But when I see these things, I almost feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the beast. I feel bad for the principal. Mentally, I think we should be looking at the principal and go, he was just a subservient, ill-willed person that would just succumb to the pressures of a greater manipulator. And that's basically what happened. But I'm rambling on this, so I'm going to cut this, drink a beer, and we're going to talk about something else here. So I posted a few things on Facebook that are rubbing people the wrong way, as I always do, as I am good at, and as will keep happening. Get fucking used to it. A video is going around of this black kid, and I'll tell you why this is important later, while I'm even mentioning that he's black, so just calm the fuck down. It's a video of this black kid playing Enter Sandman, and he's doing a video of the top five most annoying drummers in a band, and it goes through like the guy with different effects cymbals, the guy that adds double bass into nothing, the guy that goes halftime during a fast part so that people can mosh, or the guy that does double fast blast beats, or the punk drummer that adds a pop punk beat to otherwise boring songs. And every time this gets shared, it gets shared by a musician who wants to laugh at other musicians at how annoying this is and how they've all played with someone like this and how they don't know how to play this shit note for note and how crowds supposedly don't like it and that they're a better musician because they did the work, put in the work, and they know how to play the correct version. So the only reason this is going viral, and the only reason I said the kid was black, is because Jared Dines did this 10 years ago. He posted a video of, it was a whole series of videos, and Jared Dines is an amazing musician. I guess he worked in a music store, started a YouTube account, plays every instrument, is more of a gent metal core kind of player, and he can play all styles, but that's his favorite. And it was at the very beginning of internet keyboard drumming recording, sort of homebrew recording, and he would constantly post videos of top five annoying guitar players, but they were comedy routines, you know, like the guy that wears the funny hats because he thinks he's Jamiroquai, or the guy that finger taps during Pink Floyd, or the guy that does Eddie Van Halen on a typo negative. So, I mean, it was just, it was funny the way that he did it. And the way this other kid's doing it is similar. He's giving you a look like tongue in cheek, isn't this kind of silly? But the bottom line, if you watch those videos, they're keeping time and they're excellent musicians. There's another video I'm sure you may have seen if you've, you know, watched before Reels were popular and back in the YouTube and the MySpace days. There's a video of a drummer in a yellow blazer that will play like ZZ Top or some very easy, mundane, boring, you know, 1-4, 2-4 kind of beat. And he's perfectly in time. I mean, he's flipping sticks around his head like a flair bartender on the Vegas Strip, and he's still keeping the doot-scots, like in perfect time. But in between each of those, he's doing some kind of badass flip. And he went back in the day, they didn't even call it viral, but everybody saw those damn videos. So now this video is being shared by these snob musicians, and I let the first few go. Well, somebody posted one today, and it really just pissed me off, because he said, yeah, ha-ha, and this is the guy that gets fired at the next gig. Oh, my God. Let me tell you a little backstory on this son of a bitch. So, one of my ex-friends from the band that I just stopped being friends with had a giant wedding at a Elvis's Heartland Mansion here in Vegas, and it was an all-star jam session where we all got up and jammed at the end of the wedding and during the after party. This son of a bitch gets up there. He wants to be part of the cover scene, wants to be a rock star. He's so desperate to be someone else that he is doing everything possible and jamming with absolutely everyone so that he can make it in the business. And we're not talking get a recording contract. We're like, he wants to play a gig on Fremont, or he wants to be in the clique of musicians, which is a very tight clique here in Vegas. And I had to carry his ass through the entire night. He did 3 or 4 songs. He's like, let's do Sweet Child of Mine. And he only knew like 2 or 3 chords. And then he looked at me and he's like, oh shit, you know the solo, right? Because I don't know how to do that. So I had to do the solo. Or he'd start singing a song. He's like, I can't sing this high. Can you do it? And then I'd have to cover his ass. It was like all these problems where I had to cover this dude's ass the entire jam. And this is the bitch that's going to go on Facebook, act like he's a better musician than everybody else, and say that this dude's going to get fired for not knowing his parts. Fucker, you never should have been in the goddamn business if you couldn't have learned your parts. But here's the reality of Vegas. You could be a shit-ass musician, but if you look like you're cracked out, have hair plugs, and can fit into leather pants, you'll get a job. And just like the Hooters scenario, if you can't fit into the uniform, you can't get a job. I've yet to get a high-profile gig in Vegas. I've got high-profile gigs across the country, but not in Vegas. Because it's all has-beens from L.A. from the 84 to 87 Sunset Strip days that played on one track that think they're rock stars for life now, that may get royalties from one backing track they did at some point or another, and they've got this stigma and a hold on every single gig here in town that you just can't get a gig. It's irritating as fuck. So I said, in the comment on his post where they said that this was the top five annoying drummers you play with and he said they're going to get fired, I said, yeah, but imagine the crowd's response when someone takes a very otherwise boring and mundane song and has fun with it. The charisma will bring people to the crowd and will bring the crowd and the drinkers to the gig, which means that the venue is going to hire you more often because people come to your shows, which means the numbers go up, your beer sales go up, and you become a hot commodity. Now, everybody started bitching, and all the snob musicians came out. If you can't play a song right, you shouldn't be playing it at all. So all these people pretending to be other people aren't attracting people to their shows by being themselves or trying to make music their own. And I've always been a proponent of making something your own. If I redraw a Hasbro, I'm going to add my own style of shading or my own style of cross-hatching or something so that people know every time they see it, that's a Jason Wolfe fucking drawing. If I'm going to play a gig as a guitar player, I'm going to throw in some Zach Squeals because he's my influence, and then drink a beer with one hand while doing a hammer-on, hammer-off with the left hand and doing a wah motion and just have fun with it. That's my signature lick. And I don't care if it's ZZ Top or Lady Gaga or whatever. That's how I solo. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. But I tell you, I've never had more panties thrown on stage and, you know, fucking bras or been flashed with a ham wallet or any of this kind of shit as when I've put more charisma on stage. And these people just get up there in their fucking leather pants that they probably had to powder their legs just to get into these fuckers. And they think they're a better musician just because they look good in pictures. I look good in pictures too, bitch. I know how to use fucking Photoshop and make myself look damn good. So don't tell me that that can't happen. But what makes me mad is when I post stuff like this, and now I'm like, I'm mad. Because I don't think any person should tell someone else that's having fun with their job or in a job of entertainment where your entire job is actually and foremost entertainment, saying that they're doing it wrong because they're not playing it note for note. And believe it or not, there are musicians out there that are like that. We have played Sweet Home Alabama until our dicks puckered and poked out our ass like a turtle head. And it is annoying as fuck. So a lot of us will do mashups with other songs in the middle, or we'll throw some flair in there, or we'll do something to spice it up because we're bored as fuck and we hate that song. And that's almost one that 99% of people agree on, even the posh musicians. But there's a few that are like, they didn't do the piano solo correctly, or they didn't have a piano, so they played the guitar solo wrong. Oh my fucking God, how annoying is that? You know who didn't notice? The bitch in the crowd who threw her panties at the bass player who was giving her a good time. And that's the whole point. And this, the reason why I quit that last country band was because, mostly for the comments, but when this fat tub of lard sits on the other end of the stage and just sits there and plays his guitar, has no showmanship whatsoever, and the rest of us are, you know, flipping sticks, dancing around, hip swiveling, entertaining the crowd, changing the lyrics so people laugh and joke and putting on a really entertaining fucking show, and then it actually gets commented on by a booking manager or promoter that's in the crowd, and he's overheard saying, well, I'm the musician of the band. Those guys are just goofballs, but I'm the only pro musician. Oh, man, I almost beat the fuck out of that tub of shit right there. I could play every goddamn instrument on that stage. You know why that I can goof around? Is because I know my part blindfolded backwards and sucking a dick. I could still play that shit. But this tub of shit wants to tell me that he's the musician of the band? No, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. So anywho, if there were a lesson from today's ranting, it's mind your own fucking business, enjoy your life, have fun, make other people happy if you can, and just exist. Do what you can to make yourself happy, no matter what. And on the other hand, don't listen to what people say. Obviously, except me, because I'm the only one that's right. But you know what I mean.
Fuck.
So I feel better having got that out. And I'm only actually at the 3/4 point on this 19.2 fluid ounces, 568 milliliters of New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA, also known as one pint, apparently, of this 9% alcohol. I'm not quite feeling it, but it was awesome. And you might think that I would have been drunk during this rant, but I'm not. I'm actually just this good at bullshitting and ranting. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of this. And I'm going to leave this on a happy note and a positive note, because I want to get all the bullshit out and cleanse my soul from everything, because tomorrow is going to be fucking amazing. John 5 is playing my small ass club, and I get to watch Rob Zombie's guitar player, who is the best chicken picker, blows Brad Paisley out the fucking water. This dude is so goddamn good. And he likes to slow it down and play covers and just kind of... John 5 is the best guitar player I think I've ever seen. So fucking talented. I get to work with him tomorrow. I get to be security for him, walk him to stage, enjoy the show, and stand right next to the stage and listen to the best damn guitar player all fucking night. Hells to the fucking yeah. And then Saturday, we have a Metallica covered band who is amazing. And not only that, they're playing with Ghost LV, who is a Las Vegas-based Ghost cover band. This is the weekend I've been waiting for a long-ass time. It's going to be busy as fuck. It's going to be crazy as fuck. I don't know what's going to happen, but holy shit, is it going to be fun. So I purged my negativity. I'm ready to have a good-ass weekend, and I hope you do too.